Chapter 2. The crowd gasped as one dwarf fell, followed by another, and another, until the fourth fell. My heart jumped in my chest as they plummeted to the ground amid the frightened screams. Certainly there was a net, a magic spell, or something to save them from breaking their necks. As much as I wanted to be, even I wasn't fast enough or close enough to catch any of them.
Renoir, they're going to...
The first dwarf was caught by two others. The second was caught by two more. And so on, and so on. The crowd erupted in cheers as the falling dwarfs bowed and raced back up the poles to the delight of the crowd. Renoir elbowed me in the gut, saying,
"Had you fooled, didn't they? Wouldn't you say?"
I didn't know what to say, actually. It didn't seem possible for a dwarf to be caught from a 10-story fall, and it seemed even less likely for one to shimmy like a spider monkey up an iron beanpole. Maybe I should take a dwarf and acrobat with me on my next adventure. Such agility would move things quicker. That was incredible, Renoir. I'd like to meet... He waggled his finger at me.
I know what you're thinking about them dwarfs. They might be acrobatic, but they can't fight worth a hoot.
Is that so? I said, surprised. I thought all dwarfs could fight.
They can.
Renoir grabbed a loaf of bread stuffed with pepperoni and took a bite.
Better than men. Orcs. And elves, that is. But they're not dwarfing soldiers. Dwarfing acrobats is all. The best acrobats in all of Nelsimbor.
Certainly. The next few hours, I allowed myself to unwind, take in more of the city of Morgan and all its rugged exteriors. They could hammer iron so thin, you could see right through it. An entire building was windowed with it.
No rock or arrow could shatter that iron glass,
Renoir boasted. And there were so many objects and artifices of iron that it was just incredible. But as the sun began to set and the fervor of the festival renewed its rise, I realized it was time to go.
Renoir, I think I'm going to head back to your place and take a break,
I said, walking away.
What? But the festival has just begun,
he said, not looking at me, but chewing his pepperoni loaf and watching the acrobats instead.
Just stay and watch a few hours more.
I could see he was enjoying himself, but frankly, I'd had my fill, and the white spot inside my dragon palm looked a tad smaller. I had to save more dragons. I just had to.
I'll see you later, Renoir,
I said, waving.
Wait a moment, dragon,
he said, stopping me in my tracks.
Remember, you cannot leave Morgan without me. Every dwarf in the city knows that. So you go rest and stay put. I have a few ceremonies to attend to.
I nodded. He eyed me.
What?
I said. I could see he wanted confirmation from me. A promise that I would not leave. But I wasn't going to give him that. Never make a promise you can't keep. Just let him think it's a promise.
Give me your word, dragon.
I shook my head, saying,
Why bother? I can't leave anyway. 1,000 eyes are on me.
My, Renoir, I'm as much a prisoner as a guest.
Prisoner?
He stroked his beard.
That's not polite, and you know it.
He combed his fingers through his beard and muttered under his breath.
Better be no pixies in there.
Then he looked at me.
As for you, a prisoner? Pah! I'm looking out for you, that's all. Don't be hasty, dragon.
Every day we stay, the graver the danger gets for the dragons.
You can't save them all. Try as you might.
I glared at him.
What if it were dwarfs we were going to rescue? Would you wait then?
Ha ha! A dwarf neat and rescued? Ha ha ha!
Renoir laughed.
I've never seen such a thing. Nobody poaches dwarfs. Not if they know what's good for them. Well, nobody poaches orcs either,
I said, storming away.
What?
Brenmar yelled at me.
You take that back, dragon.
I kept going. He kept yelling.
And don't you dare try to leave without me.
Brenmar's home was small and quiet. His children were grown, and his wife was working at the festival. Such a fine cook she was. One of the finest I'd ever known. Still, it was good to be alone with my thoughts. If I wanted to pout, I'd pout alone. I pulled up a stool on the balcony overlooking the vast and colorful city. It seemed like every torch and pyre was alive with yellow, green, red, orange, and even pink fires. The air smelled of roasted everything good, too. And I hungered. I can't wait any longer, I mumbled. I wanted to pass over the great wall that held Morgdon, dash over the plains below, and save the dragons. Holding my dragon hand before me, I studied what it meant. Was I getting close? Could I remove the evil curse on my own? But part of me wondered what would happen without my dragon arm. Making two fists, I punched one into the other. I could feel that extra power within me. Something great. It was part of me, the strongest part. And I didn't want to do without it. Rubbing the white scales of my hand, I said to myself,
I wonder if the white are as strong as the black.
Standing up, I leaned over the balcony and looked as far out as I could see. There were dragons out there who needed me. And I needed them as well. But how could I get out of Morgdon without anyone finding out? As the bats darted in and out of the night sky, snatching the fireflies in their mouths, I snapped my fingers. That's a great idea, dragon. A great one. I dashed inside Brenmar's place, found my pack and his, and tossed them both on my bed, along with my long sword Fang and my bow Akron. I wouldn't be going anywhere without them. I counted the arrows in my quiver. I had hunting arrows, Moorite-tipped arrows, and magic arrows for extraneous circumstances, plus one that I wasn't certain at all what it would do. But supposedly it would do what I told it to. Can't wait to use you, I said, taking it out and stroking its bright red feathers before sticking it back in. Now what? I dug into Brenmar's pack. Oh, he'd kill me if he knew I was doing that. Especially because he liked to keep things tidy. And I was not tidy. Not by a dwarf standards. Not even close. I found a jeweled case trimmed in gold with a dragon-faced hasp. It was just what I was looking for. Opening it, I found 2 dozen vials filled with colorful liquids. Potions. And not just any potions. Magic potions. I plucked 3 of them out. One of them was light blue, a healer. If I was leaving without Brenmar, I'd need to be more careful. The 2nd, dark blue, a concealer. The 3rd I shook in front of my face. The yellow color swirled with white. I hope this is it, I said, as I closed the lid and put the jeweled case back in its pack as neatly as I could. I'd take the whole thing with me if I could, I said to myself. It was heavy, though, like 100 stones. I could barely carry it, but Brenmar had little trouble at all with his pack. It was my father's design, no doubt about that, filled with all kinds of magic from my father's trove. I was blessed, that much was certain, that my father allowed Brenmar to take the pack and be its guardian. I slipped into my chestplate armor, strapped my sword on my waist, then snapped my bow in place. Slinging my pack over my shoulder, I was ready to go now. I pulled the cork out of the yellow vial, stepped out onto the balcony, and started to drink. "Oh, wait," I said. I left Brenoir a note.
"Dear Brenoir, the dragons can't wait, and I can't either. Forgive me. Nath Dragon."
He would be furious, but I couldn't wait a moment longer. I yearned for freedom, not just mine, but for the dragons. They needed me. I put the vial to my lips and took the first sip. It tasted like berries and honey. I said, smacking my lips. A moment later, I pitched forward and fell to my knees as my mind turned to mud.